First Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith might, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found with praise, found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul." Now, in the verses I read, there are three different times salvation is mentioned. That's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about salvation, our salvation. There's some general thoughts about salvation, nothing that nobody don't already know. I'm just trying to do what Peter said when he was writing our two books, and he said it often, he's writing it to remind us. We need to be reminded because of the way we're made up. We have a tendency to forget a lot of things, don't we, Brother Rose? And that gets worse as it goes on. I'm getting where I've got a roll of tape in my hand, I lay it down, I have to go buy me a new roll. Then when I get back, I find it. I'd say to some other people in here having them problems too, but that comes with the territory. But we need to be reminded. Obligation of responsibility of a teacher, a preacher, a lay person, is to remind the saints of a lot of different things in the Scripture and what the Scripture says about it. But there is a salvation. There's one place in the Scripture, and we all know Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 said, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" I want to just try to teach a lesson on salvation so great. It's not as a casual of a thing as we treat it most of the time, Brother Lowell. It's a pretty serious thing. Matter of fact, it's the most important thing we'll ever deal with here on this earth, on this side, is our salvation. And I thought about this, and I just looked up some verses that I was kind of familiar with and wrote them down and thought about them, meditated on them, thought about what Jonah said. He had it right. Salvation is of the Lord. Writer in Acts, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Brother Billy used to say this, "God put all his eggs in one basket, the Lord Jesus Christ." I agree with that. And you know, we're living in the religious realm. I'll use that pretty lightly. In the religious realm today, number one, you probably don't hear too much about salvation. I was amazed, and this has been a few years back. I got into a conversation with the man that I work with, and he portrayed himself to be a religious kind of person. And as far as I know, morally, I reckon he was a pretty good person. I never did hear nothing on him or anything like that, but me and him was at work one night working over, had to go in, check on a job or something. We just had it. He brought it up, and for whatever reason, he asked me something about where I went to church, something of that nature. Got to talking to him, and he went to a Methodist church. And I got to talking to him about the subject of salvation. And Brother Lowell, he didn't have a bit more clue what I was talking about, the man on the moon. I could not believe that. about being born again. And this man was he was like maybe, I don't know what you are, in a Methodist church, a deacon or whatever. And he'd say, I don't know what you're talking about. I never heard of that before. And so just because, you know, we know, ain't no sign everybody else knows. And just because I know, ain't no sign everybody in here knows. So salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is an act. That's another thing that Brother Billy always preached. Salvation is an act. It's a supernatural act of God. It's a proclamation of God. A declaration of God. Him declaring you right. Everybody does understand that, don't they? That's foreign to a lot of people. Salvation's of the Lord. And I want to read some over here, and it kind of goes along with this, and then we'll come back where we're at here. But over in Ephesians chapter 2, it says some things concerning and related to salvation. You know, we have a lot. If you're here and you're saved today and you have true salvation, been saved by the grace of God, washed in the blood, born again, and that's kind of what it talks about here in verse 12 of chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now I've got this marked up. I might miss some words here because I can't hardly read it. And I ain't too good a reader anyway. So I didn't, as far as reading goes, I just barely got out of first grade. So that tells you about, I'm just kidding. I got a little further than that, not too much, but I'm not a good reader. And it's hard to read when you got it marked up. So anyway, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And I'm going to stop there and just say something. If you're here and you're saved today, you're saved because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of your salvation, in whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I'm talking about a so great salvation. Not a casual thing. It's a life and death matter. Which is the earnest of our inheritance. There's a lot of things connected to salvation. This is one of them. If you're saved by the grace of God, you have an inheritance. Until the redemption. Not only do we have an inheritance, we have a redemption. Thank God for all that. That's good stuff. Of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit, wisdom, revelation in the knowledge of him. You see, it's God's will and to his good pleasure that we would understand these stuff. You know, one place Scripture says, study to show yourself approved. A workman needs not be ashamed. It's hard to do that if you don't get in the book. I mean, you can hear people, you know, preach and teach and all that's good. But it don't cover all the bases. Our salvation is great because of who that started it. That's what he's telling us here. And it's not only is it telling us who started it, but later on, in some of the verses I've already read, tells us about how great he is. We have a God that's a great God. And I thought about this. I was sitting this morning and meditating. Nothing takes him by surprise. He's not sitting up in heaven, wringing his hands and trying to figure out what's going to happen next. I know a lot of people kind of, that's their mentality of God, but that's not the way he is. You see, he knew what was going to, how he was going to end up before he ever started. And he's not took by surprise by anything. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a comfort to me knowing I'm his child. It said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. See, God wants us to understand. Being enlightened, that you may know. I've had a privilege. I've had the privileges over the years of knowing some really great saints of God, Christians. I'm not saying nobody in your ears or not or anything like that, but just, you know how that is. There's just a few that sticks out in your mind over the years. And what a blessing it is to see those people understood. They understood God and understood what God was and how he was intertwined in all of the things of the scriptures and how that our salvation come by him. It was set in motion by him. It started by him. It's going to finish up with him. I'm just saying what I just said a while ago. He's in control of everything. And when you understand that and you know that deep down in your heart, not just an intellect, but in your heart, and you understand that and you really believe that, Brother Lowell, you can have that peace. The Bible says passes all understanding. And I can go back in my mind and think about some of those people, and they've been dead, some of them, for quite a few years. But there was something special about them. They had that peace. Seems like nothing didn't rattle them. Nothing didn't upset them. Nothing tore them up. You know why? I'm kind of not maybe in that category, but I'm seeing more all the time. Brother Rose, as you get older, it's a shame you have to get older to learn anything. I see these kids now, teenagers and stuff, and they're really smart in a lot of ways. I used to think I was really smart, but I figured out on down the road that I was a whole lot dumber than I thought I was. But he wants us to know these things, not just to know them, but that we might have that peace, that we might have that understanding, that we might have, we can go through this life on this side of eternity and be a person that's... Even though trials and trouble comes, and they do, and they will, you can weather the storms. And he says, I want you to know that. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the of his calling. It's important to know that we have a hope beyond this world. It's not a maybe-so hope, but it's a true hope, Brother Ralph. It's a sure hope. It's just as sure as I'm standing where I'm at or you're sitting where you're at. There's no wavering about it. No instability. We're living in unstable times. And I mean, this old world is a reeling and a rocking. And you can't put no hardly no faith in nothing or nobody else. But you can put your faith in him and understand that all is going to end well if you're his. And he wants us to know that. We have an inheritance. And what is that exceeding greatness? Look what it says, of his power. God is an all-powerful God. Sometimes it's hard for us to wrap our pea brains around really what he is. Mine anyway, maybe not for you, but for me. It's hard for me to understand how great God really is. That's so far above us in our thinking. But he is a God that created the universe, put the stars out there, put the moon out there, put earth out there. And I know we have these skeptics and they'll say, I don't believe that. But you know what I learned a long time ago? It don't matter. It don't matter what they believe. It don't matter what you believe. It don't matter. It don't change things. You can believe anything you want to. It don't change it. You can say, I don't believe that. I don't change that. His power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Great salvation, and it's a great salvation because we have a great God, almighty God. You know, people back old timers used to use that term a lot, almighty God. Wouldn't hurt us to use it a little the time we live in, because he is almighty. He's a great God, which he wrought in Christ. When he raised from the dead, and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far, far above, all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in the world, notice what he says, not only in the world, but also that which is to come. That's pretty big, ain't it? Salvation is so great. Doesn't stop there. He said, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I say praise his holy name. I'm glad I'm associated with somebody like that. I'm glad I'm connected to somebody like that. That brings peace to and joy and tranquility to my soul and my heart. And I hope it does you too. It will if you'll let it. He's a great God. Salvation's so great. To me personally, and I thought about in this direction, change course a little bit. It's a great salvation to me personally. Because of where he brought me from. I know where I come from. I know what I was. I know what the Bible says. It tells us what was, but I know what it was. See, when he got to deal with my heart, I thought I was a pretty good fellow, Brother Lord. He got to deal with me and showing me what it was. You know what the problem is today? Everybody's using the wrong yardstick. They're using the wrong measuring stick. Now, you can measure up me and you might look pretty good. But that's the wrong measuring stick. Need to get you a good ruler. I know where I come from. I know where he brought me from. You know, I looked this up this morning, and it's a question I don't know exactly how to, I don't know how to answer it. I mean, I got my ideas, I guess, but I guess everybody does. But in Hebrews chapter 6, about chapter 2, verse 6, there's a question. He said, what is man? What is man that God is mindful of him? And by the way, that means ladies too. But what is man? What is man that, I mean, I could say, you know, and be right, and I think. But I don't know if I could get to the depth of that. But I could say, you know, God is a human being. I mean, man is a human being. God created in his own image. I think that'd be right. But I don't believe that gets to the depth of the question. What is man? Well, the Bible tells us. You know, as being Gentiles, in Ephesians 2 and 12, it says, we were aliens outside the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers to the covenant of his promise. And it says this, and this, you know, anybody could understand this without hope. As Gentiles, that's where we was at. We didn't have no promise. We didn't have nothing outside of Calvary. We was dogs. You don't like that, do you? Well, that's what we was. We was dogs. Not only were we dogs, we were dead dogs. Ye hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead dogs. No covenant, no promise, nothing. No hope. That's where he brought us from. When I got under conviction, and I believe this is the way it works, and I started seeing the bad things about me, I didn't look near as good as I did before. And you know what? I found this to be true. It still works that way, Brother Lowell. Amen. That song, you know, he's still working on me. If you're his, and we're all just alike, we ain't none of us, there ain't no halos. He's still working on you. I know where he brought me from. Here's the good thing. I know where he brought me from, what I was, what I am now. 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a peculiar people. I'd say we'd all have to say we don't deserve nothing like that, do we? That's some pretty high marks. Chosen generation, royal priesthood, holy nation, peculiar people. It even said over in, Brother Ralph, I like this and I know you do. Ephesians 2 and 6, and hath raised us up. We're talking about that same person that was unworthy, didn't have no covenant, no hope, because of Calvary, because of a man named Jesus Christ over 2,000 years ago, walked Golgotha's brow, gave his life, shed his blood for a person like me. Said he has raised us up. Boy, I thought about this and I read this. This will get some of us probably. Raise us up together. Some of us Baptists, we need to get together a little bit more instead of being opposed so much. We have got a lot in common, you know that? We may not know it. Sit together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Raise us up together and made us sit together. In Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, boy, I like this. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness. I'd say kindness, wouldn't you? I'd say kindness, wouldn't you? I mean, they got to be a stronger word than that. In his kindness toward us. Through Christ Jesus. Like I said, he put all his eggs in one basket. And that's it. It's a great salvation. It's great to me because I know where he brought me from. Changed the course in my life. I was going down a bad road. Me and another fella was talking rap about just yesterday or the day before, back when we was crazy, really crazy, no sense. I told y'all before, probably, it's the truth, I guess, I don't know. Might not have been as bad as she said, but anyway, there was a teacher told my niece one time, and I was the meanest fella that ever come through Nickelfield High School. And may not have been right, I don't know, but I was pretty bad, I'll tell you that. I was crazy, didn't have no sense. Cars didn't get too fast. It didn't matter. I was crazy. That's when I thought I was really smart, too. Anyway. Where he brought me from. It is a salvation so great because of what it cost. It really cost a lot. It cost a whole lot. Well, like old Peter, don't you? He reminds me a lot of myself. All the time sticking his foot in his mouth, messing up. Just old fishermen, uneducated. They said he was uneducated. Ignorant, unlearned. Peter said this, for as much as you know, you're not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from the fathers, but by the precious blood of Christ. See, that goes back to what I said a while ago. It's not a process. It's an act. It's a supernatural act. Well, we need to understand that and get it down in our crowd. If you're here today and you've been saved by the grace of God, and I pray that you have, you were saved through the mercies and the finished work of the cross, not by anything you've done. He said again in 1 Peter 1:23, being born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, everything God fools with, it don't matter what it is. You can nail it down. It's eternal. No mistakes. Nothing to have to go back and look at and feel sorry about, Brother Lowell. No, sir. Boy, I ain't like it. Can't say that about me. Everything he does is right. Everything he does is eternal. Everything that he does has to do with forever. In this age and the age to come, he's a great God. The writer in Hebrews said it like this, neither by the blood of goats and calves, But by his own blood, he entered in once. Thank God he didn't have to go back a second time. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained, get it, eternal redemption. He said, for if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers sprinkling and unclean sanctifieth, purifying the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirits, see, this is a spiritual thing. Don't get it confused with a physical thing. That's what's got us in a mess right now. The religious world is trying to take physical things and make spiritual applications with them. It won't work. Can't do it. He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. He's a great God. We have a great salvation. We don't show it much, do we? I'm trying to not talk down to us, but I'm trying to encourage us. We have something today that the world don't know anything about. They don't understand it. They can't understand it. They don't know. I mean, they look, and I've been trying to witness this old boy for a pretty good while, and I don't seem like I'm making much headway because he wants to look at everything from a physical standpoint. He wants to do certain things, do good, you know. That's helping him out. I said, man, that ain't going to help you. That might be all right. That might be all right to give to this, give to that. You know, we've got fellers today in this society we live in that have billions and billions of dollars, and they just give it away, Brother Lord, just here and there, hand over fist, and they really think that that's going to help them. But it won't. See, it ain't for sale. Not for sale. I don't understand. I'll be honest with you. I just thought hit my mind. I don't understand why God would let me in on something like we have. I know it's, you know, I know it ain't nothing that I've done. I know it's all that he done. But there's a lot there I don't understand. The only thing I can know is somebody prayed for me. One day I'll know who it was. But I like to try to summarize all this up and just say we have something special. And we ought to secure it real close to our heart. In the good times, not just in the bad times. And we ought to appreciate it more than what we do. We ought to thank him more for it. And I'll take my place to head the line. And we ought to be more mindful of it. Because one day, we're going to stand before him and give account of things done in this life and in this body. I have one more place that I was going to read. I believe I will if I can read this. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, for which cause we faint not. This is a comfort to people when they're getting older. For this cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. You see, like I said, it's something really special that we have as God's people. And the world don't understand it. They never will understand it. And I think about this a lot. I do. I maybe I'm just going down the road on Sunday morning, coming to church, whatever. And it bothers me. It ought not bother me, I don't guess. Maybe one way it should, I don't know. But it's the time we live in. Brother Lord, we're living in last days, perilous times. And the Bible tells us everything that's going on is, you could have read it 500 years ago and noted. Now, if you'd lived that long, we don't live that long. But anyway, what I was getting around to say is, people look at me or you or us, and I just don't understand why they want to go up there for on Sunday morning. Why they want to go back up there for on Sunday night. You know, why you want to go in? Some of you know used to have a saying, they're running in the ground. And I believe, I really believe truly, that a lot of times, probably more than not, we go for the wrong reason. But they don't understand what I'm saying. They don't understand. They don't understand, you know, that you don't want to associate with people that don't go where you want to go, ought to go, or whatever, or say the things, you know, have the kind of language that they ought to have. They don't understand that. And they never will understand it. But we've been set apart. We've been bought with a price. And it cost a lot. Cost a lot. We ought to be happy that we've been saved. We ought to be happy we're going to.